Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
And that very controversial provision was taken out about codifying that legal opinion, right? Court opinion.
Mr. Chair, there was a piece of policy in here that affected how hospitals were compensated, and that has that's the study that you saw on the workers' comp on the fiscal note of $129,000, $124,000. That has been removed, and they are going to study that over the next year to see if they can come to a more equitable arrangement.
Thank you.
There are a couple other things that I suspect will be included in that study, but you know, this is a bill that had a few people unhappy, but as with any bill, you're never going to get 100% agreement, and the council has heard from legislators and from the constituents that we as legislators serve that they want them to talk more about all pieces of this bill. And they will.
Okay, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mahoney, I want to commend you. I know you're carrying the bill, and this is a bill that works in a bipartisan labor and management way, and it's got significant reform in it this year. So thank you for doing that. I know that's been a work in progress through a number of administrations through both parties, and thank you and those folks that have worked on it, because this is a good bill. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Final comments. I'm just grateful that we could actually put the PTSD in as it was, and deals with people with very traumatic injuries, and they need to be addressed and hopefully healed.
Okay, and I should point out that we did have written testimony by the Chamber of Commerce and the Minnesota County's Intergovernmental Trust. That's in your packets. So the chair, Representative Mahoney, do you want to? I don't see anybody else. So do you want to renew your motion?
I would like to renew my motion that Senate File 1234, as amended, be passed to the General Register.
Okay. The second engrossment as amended.
Second engrossment as amended.
Register. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. We also have on the agenda this morning the House budget resolution, and I'd like to bring that before the committee. And then the chair moves the CS-RES-04-A4 amendment. And I'd like if Mr. Marks could explain the amendment and what we're doing here. And you also should have a handout in your packets, by the way, that shows the House budget resolution and what's on the bottom line at this point in time. So, Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair, members, the spreadsheet's probably the easiest way to explain the change in the proposed change in the resolution. The number that would change would be the total net spending number, and if you look on the spreadsheet, this is the number that's about two-thirds of the way down the page. Total net spending number would go from $36,116,972 to $36,099,026, or a decrease to $17,946,000. By changing that number and not changing any of the individual targets, the net effect is that the money, the funding available for other bills is reduced by that same amount. And you can see then the other bills amount would go from $49,410,000 to $31,464,000. The little section on the bottom of the page just outlines the other bills spending that is assumed in that $31,464,000. They're all bills that have passed through the committee. The one that I would note is that's a little, well, two that are a little unusual.
What do you want?
The first one, the WICRA changes in Chapter 15, this is a $56,000 cost that actually was in a bill that never went through any fiscal committees, and the cost wasn't found until a week or so after the bill was signed into law. We are counting that one. but that was a bill that escaped a bit. And then other bills that passed through the committee, the bottom one on the list, the hospital staffing study, when that bill went through this committee, there was no appropriation, and that was covered in the Health and Human Services bill. We're counting it here just because the bill is coming back from the Senate for possible concurrence with an appropriation in it, and this would allow that to be covered. So you can see the dollar amount matches up there with the proposed amount for the other bills category.
And that's the bill by Representative Atkins, if I recall. Okay, so that will be covered. Representative Abler.
Oh, thank you. I just have a couple questions. We've taken away your elective pot of money then, have we, Mr. Chair? Are you broke?
Almost.
Yeah, okay. So I've been kind of following. I appreciate
That's a good point. Let me comment. If, and this has happened, if an emergency of some sort were to develop, we could revisit the budget resolution if there was something that we needed to take care of. And I only know this through the news, there was some comment about there may be some need for some state dollars potentially for disaster relief in southern Minnesota because of the snowstorm and the power outages and all of that. Sometimes with those situations, we've had to have a state match. And if that were to come about, we could always adjust the budget resolution to accommodate that. But that's the only thing that I'm aware of that's potentially out there, and it's not there yet. I asked Mr. Marks if he could check on that for us, but at least as we're standing today, there's not much left on the bottom line other than the bill by Representative Atkins to cover that one.
And it's actually so it's a sign of the end of session, Mr. Chair, that if the Ways and Means Chair empties his pockets, that we're getting close. So people should take heart.
That's true. But keep in mind that the conference committee targets are a separate discussion.
Right.
You know, this only governs the House.
Right. Mr. Chair, I do have just a comment about the target. And I think, Mr. Marks, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Should these bills go forward, if the House were to prevail in everything, and this $17.946 million would be on the bottom line at the end of the day, where would that would go to the school shift at the end of the day? Is that correct?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, it would show up as a budget balance until the November forecast. And if it remained at the time of the November forecast, or it plus or minus others, then it would go for education shift reduction. Yes.
Right. Thank you.
Representative Abler.
And so actually, I just want to remind people, I didn't vote for your tax bill, but you did, and you with some hand-wringing, bemoaned the fact about your human services target at minus 150, the Senate being at 152.8 minus, and have been hoping on the floor and in Ways and Means, Chair Huntley, I don't see him here, took money out of some grant programs for long-term care to get a COLA for nursing homes. Since I'm just telling the committee here, as you vote for this, you could have bought a point-and-a-half nursing home COLA. Permanent with this $18 million or leave it available for the school shift. Just to remind people my own personal sadness about our budgeting process, we made some terrible decisions that we had to make in 2011 at which the Department of Human Services scored the various things as savings or spending. They overestimated spending and underestimated savings. So in one program, $20 million we had to reduce that was totally wrong. And so just to understand the process that we all bemoan, and they didn't do it in bad faith. But this is something you don't have to do. Both the House and Senate have negative targets. I don't know if the committee got this, maybe this is for the conferees. Just to point out that the only the governor in the first 2 years spends more money than current law in nursing homes, specifically $35,000 off of current law. And he provides a COLA that's imaginary. The Senate actually reduces spending in 2015 from current law, as does the House. The House is, in the second biennium, both the Senate and the House are under having no bill. And so I'm just challenging you on this decision you're going to make, that you're in charge of this place. But this could have been used to some purpose and strengthens the House positions and negotiations to have a stronger human service interest. So I'll be voting no.
The Representative Abler, when I saw your name on the list, I kind of guessed what your comments might have been, and that's why I stressed that separate targets will be established for the conference committee. The only reason that we had this left on the bottom line was that the pension bill came in significantly below what we thought it might be when we originally passed the budget resolution. I think we had set that potentially at something like $42 million, and Mr. Marks is nodding yes, and it actually came in at, what, about 27 or 28, I'm trying to remember. So that's where the money came from, pensions being a lower number. But being that the Health and Human Services bill has passed, you know, those negotiations relative to what the ultimate target will be are going to be at the conference committee level now and not based on the House budget resolution any longer. Mr. Marks has something that he wanted to correct from his earlier statement, I guess.
Mr. Chair and Representative Abler, I guess, actually you asked what would happen under the House proposals. Under the House proposals, the shift, the education shifts would be paid off. This balance would go to reduce the income tax surcharge.
Oh, is that right?
Mixing paradigms here.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
I should never second-guess Mr. Mark. Thank you.
Yeah, he gives us pretty solid information. I think both sides of the aisle understand that.
Oh, yeah.
Representative Holberg, you're next.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, and so what is left on the bottom line after this resolution?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, there would be the $17.9 million here. I believe the jobs bill was about $1 million under target after the amendments on the House floor, and I believe the commerce portion of that is a couple hundred thousand that was under its target. So it would be roughly $20
million. All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, under the budget resolution, it's not available. Relative to total spending and total revenue, it's available.
Okay, just to clarify that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Just to try to recover from Mr. Marks's pointing out a gap in my rationale. As we're in conference now and they're negotiating targets in the next several days, I'm sure you're part of that discussion. I'm just trying to cheer for House momentum on this area that we all say is so important to us. So if you vote no on this and then just change, put out a bill, you could show momentum. I'll leave it at that, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Holberg, were you done?
Well, Mr. Chair, then I'm just wondering with the fiscal note on the bill after session, are you taking that from the bottom line or how are you paying for that?
We'll have... clarify everything there, MMB is going to be testifying tonight on the fiscal note, but as I understand it, the health insurance part of it will be absorbed by the agencies, and the marriage license part of it generates $190,000 in increased revenue. So the health insurance, such a huge base that will simply be absorbed.
All right, thank you.
Okay, any further discussion on the resolution? Okay, then the chair renews his motion that the CS-RESO4-4A amendment to the House budget resolution be passed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. With that, we will be in recess, and as I mentioned earlier, we will convene about a half an hour after the House adjourns. So that could be late afternoon, evening, not sure. With that, we're in recess. Okay, I'd like to reconvene the Ways and Means Committee members. As you know, we were in recess from this morning's meeting.
Thank you very much.
We have before us House File 1054, the bill that's generally known as the marriage bill, with Representative Clark as the chief author. And members, there are no amendments. And the reason that it was referred to us today is the fiscal note. So if possible, what I'd like to do is keep the discussion on the fiscal note, and we do have MMB present to help us develop an understanding of the fiscal note. There are two areas that we probably need to talk some about. One is CGIP, and MMB will be here to comment on that. And then the other part is the increase in the number of marriage licenses and what impact that has as well. In that case, on the general fund, CGIP would have no impact on the general fund per se. But we'll be hearing from them shortly. So maybe if they could come down to the front table. I think there are two of you that are here. Nathan, is it Morocco? And Michelle Weber? And Representative Clark, are you prepared to make a motion on the bill?
I think so. I had the motion right here. Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the motion says that I ask for the bill to be passed the second endorsement and re-referred to the House floor.
Yeah, I can help a bit. Representative Clark moves that House File 1054, first engrossment, be recommended to pass and placed on the general register.
General register. Thank you.
And Representative Clark?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief because I know we are here to talk about the fiscal. No, but I will just say briefly that this is the bill that expands the freedom to marry to same-sex couples and protects religious freedom in the process. And so we'll go to the fiscal note. You already laid the groundwork for that, the two areas where there is some impact, and I guess I'll turn to the MMB folks to go through that, talk about the policy and the actual numbers.
Maybe everybody has the fiscal note in their packets, so maybe if one of you, let's kind of divide it into the two parts, could comment first on CGIP and then on the impact on the licensure. Those were the two key components of the fiscal note, and it looks like Mr. Morocco, you're going to be the one that will start the process on the fiscal note. Mr. Morocco.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Nathan Morocco. I'm the director of the Employee Insurance Division at Minnesota Management and Budget, and I oversee the state employee group insurance program. The fiscal note, as you have in front of you, has a total of $631,000 in fiscal year 14 and $688,000 in fiscal year 15 and in the outlying years. So the methodology that we used is laid out in the fiscal note, so I'm not sure if there's any specific why the cost might be there or what it was based on, but essentially we would anticipate adding additional members into the state employee group insurance program. Those members would have an additional cost, and so this fiscal note is reflective of that. It's similar to the kinds of increases that we saw back in 2003 during the brief period of time in which CGIP had some domestic partner benefits for approximately 9 to 12 month period of time. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions
and
you have.
I guess one of the questions then would be how those costs would be covered.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, essentially the state employee group insurance program is in essence aggregating the total increase that each of the agencies will incur as a result of the passage of this bill. So by that I mean that we charge a premium to the agencies and to state employees, and those premiums are then paid by those entities. So to the extent that you are expanding coverage, that will require us to increase the premiums, and then those agencies and the individual employees will then be responsible for paying that increase. So that's what this is reflecting, is the employer or the state's portion, or in other words, each agency's additional contribution that will be necessary in order to cover the additional dependents.
Okay, and it's my understanding, maybe Mr. Marks can comment, we need not, with what was just said, appropriate any additional funds. Is that correct, Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair, the decision would be, I guess, that the agencies would cover that cost. At this point, we don't know whether the cost would be general fund, any other particular fund. We also don't know which agencies. So basically this would have to be handled within the agency budgets.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, historically, the CGIP has been viewed as being roughly 32% general fund and 68% all other funds. That's typically how the agencies pay for their portion of the premium.
Yes.
Any discussion on the CGIP part of it? Representative Abler.
So we're looking at 114 more people is what the bottom line is, Mr. Morocco. Okay.
Yeah, that was the estimate in the fiscal note, correct?
It's really actually quite interesting how they got to that number if you're a wonk on reading math derivations, so I would suggest that it's great.
Okay, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Morocco, isn't it possible, didn't we save a couple million dollars of biennium more than we forecast when we did the dependent coverage evaluation or audit? Is it possible that there's more money from those savings than what this would ever cost?
Mr. Morocco.
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, as you know, the dependent audit isn't complete. We came in roughly about where we had expected, but we are still actually fulfilling the audit requirements, so we don't know what the total cost or savings will be until roughly midsummer.
Just follow one of the things I might just share with the committee is that I did check today in terms of how many dollars are basically in CGIP or what the cost of the program is in 2013. Let me put it that way. It was $676 million is what was brought in from all income sources for the state insurance program. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the 100 and some, that would be a relatively small number. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Morocco, I'm trying to understand. You just said something different than the way I recollect it. I thought about $1.7 million was booked for the savings in the CGIP audit, and I thought the estimate was substantially more than that, or at least more than that. And wouldn't it be more than what the fiscal note for this bill is? I thought the savings exceeded the 1.7 by a couple million dollars.
Mr. Morocco.
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, I think what you're referring to is that the savings in general were greater, but the general fund portion of those savings was roughly $1.7 million. It sort of gets to the point that the Chair had made in terms of where our funds come from. So when we save $4 million, 32% of that is roughly general fund savings, 68% is going to be other fund savings, and so that's where there might be some mixing up of the total savings versus what was actually booked as part of the legislative process.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Morocco, thank you, and I remember seeing a chart that showed that the total savings, I mean, granted, we like to talk about general fund savings, but the savings in dedicated funds are real savings for the state of Minnesota. And we actually saved a couple million dollars total, more than was booked, even if we pay back the $300,000 for the people that we took away their coverage, even though they really were eligible for it. My point is, if we pay that $300,000 back, like the chair of this committee did in an amendment and a bill that I have and Representative Schoen has, that we've been working with you, this and Representative Clark's bill altogether wouldn't even amount to the savings that were in that audit, which was a great thing to do to make sure that we had people correctly. But, Mr. Chair, my point is I think that pot of money is adequate to cover both your amendment and Representative Clark's bill.
Okay, thank you. Maybe we see no other hands up. Why don't we talk a little bit about the revenue then for marriage licenses? That would be the other part of the note.
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Michelle Weber. I'm the Director of Budget Operations at Minnesota Management and Budget. And so the MMB portion of the fiscal note also includes assumptions around an increase in the number of marriage licenses issued. The primary increase occurs in fiscal year 14, which results in increased revenue to the general fund of $190,000. And then in fiscal year 15 and beyond, the rate at which the marriage license increase, it significantly declines after that time. And so then that would have a $9,800 positive impact on the general fund.
Okay. And are there any questions on that part of the fiscal note? Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so would the distribution of the marriage license fees continue in the same way they are now, or are there any changes to those programs proposed?
Mr. Chair and Representative Bloom, there are no changes that I'm aware of. They would continue.
Thank you.
Any further discussion then? Hossein, and then Representative Clark renews her motion that House File 1054, first engrossment, be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And that's all the business before us today, so the meeting is adjourned.